Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I started taking them about 7.5 years ago. It was right after I lost my husband. My husband passed away. I was grieving so bad I wasn't eating at all. I mean, I just didn't care. And so I heard the advertisements on the radio, and I thought, well, my family's upset about me. I got to get myself straight, and I started taking them. So I always say they kind of saved my life, you know. They gave me back my life. I would say that.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gives you our best pricing and free shipping. And we will take an additional 35% off of your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years?
You're listening to the Kate Daly Show, and I love Jeff. He goes by G. Michael Hopf, which is H-O-P-F, as in Frank. And you can go there .com, and he has some wonderful post-apocalyptic books that'll make you think. And it will take you through the details. And I think that's what's missing is the overall details. And also, he was talking about the politicization of the calling preppers weirdos and you know, the far right. And when your government tells you not to prepare, there's a problem. I mean, my gosh, even Germany was telling its citizens to have, you know, some things on hand. Give me a break. But our government seems to want to be intent on telling us that only weirdos are prepping. That's not true. And I hope all of us kind of take what he said to heart, because it's so important to think things out. You know, what happens when trash isn't picked up for you know, months? And what happens, you know, let's think it out. Think out the scenario so that we can be ready and prepared. And not in a panic. It's so important. Also, I'm going to be reading a view from the 80th floor in just a moment, but I also wanted to make sure that you're getting Balance of Nature. You know, today was a great show in that first hour about nutrition and about what our bodies are just starving for. You have to eat 72, 75 potatoes to make up for one potato grown in 1910, you know, 1950. It's ridiculous how our nutrition has gone south. And if you are suffering from an illness or cancer or anything like that, please get on the Budwig protocol. The Budwig protocol, it can save your life. And I firmly believe in it. Wait till you do the research on it. I did a lot of research on that before I ever brought it up on the show. And it's amazing what it's doing worldwide for people that find out about it. And my guest actually cured herself of rheumatoid arthritis from doing it for 12 weeks. It really is a great protocol, and everybody should know about it. Budwig, Joanna Budwig is the name of that. So make sure that you're getting a Balance of Nature, and you can save 35%. Put in the code KATE. Put in the code KATE for listening to the show. And I'm telling you, fruits and vegetables dehydrated, nothing in it, totally clean product. You'll love that product, and you're getting all that extra nutrition, and our bodies really need it right now. Unless you're going to eat 375 potatoes at dinner, you need it. So that's all I have to say about that. Make sure that you're, I don't think I could ever sit down and eat 375 potatoes. Good gravy. All right. I introduced this segment. We're going to be doing this every Friday, and I've gotten some other good ones too. And let me just tell you, thank you for sending these to me. And they have just been so fantastic, and I can't wait to share this one with you. This is his view from the 60th floor. Okay, he's 60 years old, and I love that. And so whatever floor you're on, I want to hear from your viewpoint. What have you learned? Your bit of wisdom, your something that changed you along the way. It can be that, or politically, or with your family, your kids, whatever the case may be. And so let me share with you Bob Walker's bit of wisdom here. And I just absolutely loved this. And what a great writer he is on top of it. I don't know if he knows what a great writer he is, but I thought this was great. Here we go. I grew up in Orem, Utah in the 70s, a time when the town was still about half orchards and half city. And when I was 12, my dad bought a six-acre orchard by the mouth of the canyon and built a home for a very large family. We learned to work the farm in all seasons, pruning, irrigating weekly, harvesting fruit, the whole deal. As the firstborn son, I was driving our Ford tractor before I was 14 and would often be one to look up or hook up the 500-gallon sprayer, drive down the shoulder of the highway a half a mile to the co-op water source, fill up the sprayer, add in the chemicals du jour, and then slowly drive up and down the rows spraying the trees. And after the first year of my dad carefully teaching me how to do all these tasks, he would often be gone doing his actual day job, and I would work mostly unsupervised on the farm. It was a hard life with lots of work and long hours spent outside in all weather conditions. Then, as if we didn't have enough work already, my dad tilled up a half acre where we didn't have trees and planted a garden big enough for the whole neighborhood, or it was seemed to my young mind, and made us plant, seed, water, weed some more, and then harvest all the food we could possibly grow. Oh, and the canning, the endless canning. 300 quarts of currently ripe fruit on a Saturday was not uncommon. The whole family in our oversized kitchen creating an assembly line of blanching, skinning, pitting, slicing, jarring, and putting into the four large water baths, and then all the heat of those hundreds of glass jars as they cooled, followed by the melodic sound of metal lids pinging as they finished sealing. Did I mention all the laughter and fun we had as a family while we were doing all this canning? At the time, as I complained to my friends and my slave-driving parents, I'm sure I never thought to mention how wonderful it was to be with family and united in a common cause. I just didn't see what was happening. I only saw the work. I only thought about my friends who didn't have the burden of a farm and were able to do the things the city kids could do. I was trapped on the farm, a slave to my parents. In my mind, it was a prison of sorts. The worst part was when my dad added animals to the mix. First one cow, then a few chickens, then another cow, and then the rabbitry with more than 20 large cages, and then a third cow. Dozens of eggs had to be gathered daily. Chickens and rabbits had to be fed and watered. Their living space had to be cleaned of endless poop. Rabbit pellets had to be taken by wheelbarrow to the massive garden and put into a pile of to compost so that they would be tilled before the dirt in the fall. And those cows, those huge, stinky cows, not only did they have to be milked by hand twice a day, but they would sometimes lay down in their own poop and would come into the milking area dripping with green ooze that had to be cleaned off and dried before we could put a milk bucket underneath them. One drop of this poopy ooze would contaminate gallons of milk. It was a messy, horrible job. Summers weren't so bad, but the winters were absolute worst. I detested that job most of all, and I always went to school smelling slightly of cows, no matter how much I scrubbed in the shower after chores were done. One day came the moment I cracked and the moment my life was forever changed. It was a summer evening. I remember it was warm and the activities of my friends were calling to my teenage soul. But three cows needed to be milked again. I refused. I was pretty horrible to my dad about my desire to be anywhere but the barn. There were raised voices. It was getting ugly. Then my dad had pure inspiration. He calmly walked over to our dining room window that was the closest to our barn and opened it. He asked me to be quiet for a moment and just listen to the sounds of the orchard. I begrudgingly complied. And then I heard them, three cows bellowing. He asked me, "Why are Baby, Boss, and Belle making so much noise?" And I told him they were uncomfortable because they were overdue for their milking. He asked me if they were just uncomfortable or if they were actually in a lot of pain. "Pain," I meekly replied. Then the moment that is etched into my brain forever, the moment that still causes me to tear up more than four decades later, he looked me squarely in the eyes and lovingly, calmly asked me, "Are you the kind of man that will let these three helpless animals who completely depend on you suffer in pain because you want to do something else? Or are you the kind of man that believes that your highest responsibility is to see to it that they are milked and relieved of their pain?" Wow. It was an incredible moment, a true aha. I realized I wasn't just doing a chore. I was serving them because they were serving us. I never saw them the same way again. And to this day, I see the tasks around me as a service. My career was my service to my family. My callings in church, my community involvement, even the community choirs I sang in, my life's passion, were all service of one kind or another. That was the lesson I learned from three bellowing cows on a warm summer evening in the foothills of the Wasatch Mountains. It was a lesson I wish I could have taught my own four sons, but alas, the world is different now, and such a lifestyle was always just out of reach. Thank you, Bob Walker. I love that. You know, I thought about that, and the first time I read that, I really teared up, and I can see why he still tears up all these years later. When you realize that kind of service, and you see it as a service, your whole perspective changes, doesn't it? You know, I talk about men on the air a lot, and there's a reason. It's because, you know, I talk about love being a service and how we need to show our love for one another, right? Husbands and wives. And when women get on this power trip, sometimes they forget about that. You know, making your husband a dinner is love/service. It's not you're not a slave. It's serving. And men, you know, get married and go to work every day and do so to provide for a family. It's service. It's love. It's how they're showing love. And I never want that to be diminished in anyone's mind. I never want that to be something that isn't celebrated, that isn't thought of. And I'm sure all of you have a lesson like this, and you are welcome to chime in right now. I do have a few minutes. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. His submission really got to me, just like last week's. It's, you know, you have so much wisdom to give, all of you out there, because I know all of us have learned something along the way that's touched us and has taught us something that just... is that big? And don't you just wish you had a forum in which to share this with other people? And so every week at the end of this show on Friday, I'll be reading submissions from you, the audience, to share that wisdom. You have so much to give and so many things. And I think this was such a wonderful one because I loved how his father taught him this. Instead of just getting mad and walking out the door, which could have happened, or even causing a strain in that relationship, you know, by not communicating, the father chose to rely on his sense of wisdom in teaching his young son how to be a man. Is there anything more important than that? That's amazing. And, you know, we teach our kids a lot of things, you know, teaching them how to love God, teaching them how to be a responsible, good person. Teaching them how to look at something differently. It's so huge. It's so important in how our perspective and getting through things and learning things. I think that's just such a big part of it. And I loved this story for that reason. And the other thing that struck me was all the lessons he learned on his farm. We used to be a country, you know, 100 years ago, it was 95% this. 95% this kind of growing up. And you know what? How amazing. How amazing. Did that not produce one of our most amazing generations? Yes, it did. And we have, you know, we haven't been better for losing that. And I wish we could get back to that. Hi, caller. Go right ahead. Oh, turn that radio down.
Yes, hi. My name is Lily.
Hi, Lily.
And I'm so thrilled to have heard that story.
Right.
And I'm very thankful and grateful that you shared stories like this, because there are a lot of people, I'm sure, kind of like myself. Mm-hmm. I'm very nervous. Mm-hmm.
You're doing great.
But I have to do that today. 17 years ago, there was a huge lesson in my life that taught me that an elderly person is yet not only full of wisdom, but they talk about dignity and respect. And ma'am, to make the long story short, I am not a caregiver by trade, but I did found a value in helping one person at a time.
Aww.
And I recently submitted a story to the paper because it's an amazing, just something small that a doctor can do to make a difference.
Yes.
A time that we can take to strengthen those that have gone before us.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
that
agree.
We can give of our lives. Mm-hmm. I have been blessed beyond measure.
Aww.
I lack nothing, mm-hmm. and I am grateful.
Aww.
I'm 53 years old, and hearing your program, I've been hearing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You are an amazing lady, but
so
you
sweet.
Take the time to notice what money cannot buy and what we cannot go mm-hmm. and prepare in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
I have 2 degrees. It makes no difference to me. I look at a Saturday night, Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
or Sunday evening,
mm-hmm.
helping one elderly, and it's not about me, but it's what God can do through me. So I cannot thank you. That story was so moving because not only was it articulated beautifully, but you bring it to life.
You're
pointing out the amazing wisdom of someone that would do something.
Lily, thank you. I wish we weren't out of time. Lily, your call just touched me. Thank you so much for sharing that. You're just incredible.
God bless you for
thank
you.
That
you do,
thank
mom.
You. Thank you so much. Oh, I wish we had more time, Lily. Thank you. That was beautiful. I really appreciated that. Thank you. And be faithful. Be fearless. Submit your stories, 4 to 5 paragraphs at the most, to Kate at katedallyradio.com. I'd love to get them, and I will read one every Friday. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.